Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, we're here asking you to join us today on Let's Talk Truth. We are absolutely going to try and have a wonderful time today. Let's Talk Truth, this is your host, Lois, and we just feel so honored that you are here to listen to us this evening, and we want to try to share some things with you. Our show today is going to be on unhealthy relationships. Unhealthy relationships and finding the good stuff. Now, this is twofold meaning. If we have an unhealthy relationship, does that mean we're unhealthy people? No, because when we were created in God's image. So God's image made us perfect people on the inside. But it's that flesh we're working with that has allowed us to kind of be taking our course just a bit. So Let's Talk Truth today, we're going to expose some unhealthy relationship practices, because if you'll notice, before you can get in deep in anything that's going to be derogatory against your lifestyle, it's a practice you have to do. You know, we practice to be perfect. So whatever it is we're practicing on, that's exactly what we're going to, the results of our relationship. So we're going to expose some unhealthy relationship practices, and we're going to examine why some of us are so attracted to these unhealthy relationships. I've noticed that there are many females and many males. We go by every day, we have a relationship, it's unhealthy, it ends, we pick up another one that was just like the previous one that we had. And this not only does it have to do with our spouses, our girlfriends and our boyfriends, but also the friends we hang around with. Some of us, we just attract a certain group of people. So why do we attract a certain group? Why are there different things going on in our lives? So the importance of finding the good stuff is to peel back those layers of whatever it is that has encompassed us or covered that good part that God put in us. You know, when I selected to do this broadcast, I didn't want to have a show where you preach, because I do that every Sunday. I don't want people to think I'm trying to drill Christ in them, but I've come to a realization. Christ is going to be a part of everything that we talk about, because that's the ultimate good, or that's the ultimate thing that keeps us grounded. Without Christ, we wouldn't know what a healthy relationship should be. So we're going to have to interject Christ in there throughout our broadcast. Every time we broadcast, so should everyone else. And when you find people who don't, then I don't think they're getting about with the truth. That's why we say Let's Talk Truth. You cannot have a relationship anywhere in Christ, in the world, without Christ being the center, if it's going to be a positive one. Now, I wanted to let you in a little bit on that and why we're here. And also, I want you to join us in welcoming a guest that we have in our studio today. Thank God that he made it. I thank God for our limo driver. He goes about, I know sometimes he doesn't want to go to these different places and pick up everyone, but he did do this for us this afternoon. Thank God for my staff who have the who set up everything, our drinks and everything, in the green room for our guests to enjoy before the show. And we try to ask our guests to come at least 30 minutes early so they can relax and do whatever it is they need to do to be motivated. So with that word motivated, I think about our guest. Mr. Motivator is here today. This is the third time he has been here, and we're going to ask everyone in the audience, give him a hand for being in our show today. Okay, all right. Okay, Mr. Motivator is he's a one that uses laughter to promote good feelings in people, because he believes that laughter is a good medicine. So he goes throughout the country. He's a stand-up comedian. He's a motivational speaker. He's an author of his own book. It's called Success is an Attitude. He's an actor. He's a radio and TV host. He just has a plethora of caps that he wears. So we just thank him for being here. I'm going to give him an opportunity to say hello to you before we get started in our show, Mr. Motivator.
Thank you, Lois. I always love a beautiful introduction. I want to thank the audience tonight. Your show always moves me, and your topics are so important, and they're so right on time. And I'm excited because you that are listening, you that are tuned in to the show tonight, Let's Talk Truth is going to present you with some eye-openers and maybe some strategies to have a better relationship or to start better relationships and to be able to maintain and keep those relationships. Again, thank you for having me on the show. I know you got some great things you want to go ahead on and discuss with everyone. So, Lars, I'm going to let you go ahead and get things kicked off.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Motivator. First of all, we want to kind of examine what are unhealthy relationships. I'm going to give you a couple of things that I feel like is unhealthy. I have, over the years, I look at pastors and their wives. And you can tell the most unhappy woman in the church is normally the pastor's wife. You can look in her eyes, she is so unhappy. Because most pastors' wives are made to take the back seat in the congregation. Because the people who pay tithes and give a good offering have to have the front seat. I know this is really not something that people want to admit to. But you know how I know? I used to be a pastor's wife. I used to be a pastor's wife. I don't talk to you about anything I have not experienced. And the only thing difference in me, I refuse to take the back seat. I mean, I'm going to heaven just like they are. And I should be able to sing, shout, do what I want to do. I pay tithes like they did. So, but you do have this. And it starts in the church, and it's so prevalent. And if you think I'm kidding, I don't care how many women say that I'm not telling the truth, look in their eyes. You can always tell an unhappy woman by looking in her eyes. If you look in her eyes are the mirrors to the soul. I don't care what her hands are saying, hallelujah, praise the Lord. I don't care what her lips are saying, how they're smiling, her eyes. She's unhappy. So we have to learn those are unhealthy relationships. If I've got to be unhappy for you to be happy, then that's an unhealthy relationship. And these are relationships that I don't feel that God has blessed us to be in. And then we find men the same way. You know, I was going to share something. When I was growing up, we were talking about finding the good stuff in a person. If you asked what were little girls made of, and the old adage is they're made of sugar, spice, and everything nice. Now, that's the idea that we got. But we know that life has dealt women a cruel hand, and we have turned just like everybody else. Women don't take prisons nowadays. I mean, you can't get women. You can't find that sugar and spice and everything nice in all females, because women are controlled. We got to be in control. We're in control of everything. And the one thing that God put us in control of, we don't take care of. Well, we want to control everything else. So this makes us enter into a relationship carrying so much baggage until that relationship has become unhealthy. Women have to be in control of everything. We don't give our men a chance to be men. We don't give our children a chance to be children. We control every aspect of their lives instead of walking like we're supposed to walk and then allowing God to do the rest in the lives of people. So that's one thing that I wanted to share first off as far as unhealthy relationships that I've known. Mr. Motivator, also young women. Look at the young girls. Who are they dating? They're dating someone who doesn't care about them at all, who treats them like crap. And I've never known that you could use the B word so many times in one sentence as I listen to young people in their relationships. The man, come here, B, and they just saying, ooh, he just loved me so much. Can't do what he told me. Oh, no, sweetie, you're headed into an unhealthy relationship. And we don't even realize it. And it's so sad that our women are so pretty. Our young girls are such beautiful young ladies, and they have so much to offer, but they settled into an unhealthy relationship because they haven't found the good stuff inside of them that make them stand up and say, yes, I am somebody, okay? Mr. Motivator, give us your take on that as well.
Well, I believe that you've hit some interesting areas. I kind of would like to pose a question to you, Lois. Why do you think people allow themselves, why do they get started with unhealthy relationships from the start? Aren't there signs, or shouldn't there be something that signals that they could pick up before they get totally wrapped up with this person? And also, I've heard that Hollywood wives have the best relationships. I'm gonna let you expand on and tell me why you think these people allow themselves to get started in those kind of things.
Well, one thing that helps our females get started is low self-esteem. They don't love themselves.
Okay.
Society has put things out there to say you're only somebody if you wear a size 3, if you have a certain kind of hair, certain things that the world will present to you to say that makes you somebody. I can remember, I'm from the country, and I can remember when I was a little girl, we got one pair of shoes every semester of school. We got a pair of shoes when school started, and we got another pair during the Christmas holidays, okay? But I was a straight-A student. So what we have given our children only value stuff. They only think of themselves being somebody if they can wear a pair of tennis shoes that costs $150. What junior high kid, what elementary school kid, how many parents can pay $150 for those tennis shoes? But they want their children to be somebody. Never once did we try to build from the inside, because all we say to that person is, you're just bad, you're just this, you're just that coming up. We have parents who don't know how to discipline their children. They come here, you little MF. You know, they curse them, and they you know, use profanity and talk to their children, and they hit their children, and yes, I got my tail whipped growing up, but my mama didn't beat me with her fist. She didn't curse me, and so she taught me the value of being me. And I just feel like we have allowed society too much influence over our children, and we call it free expression. Mr. Motivator, how many times when you were growing up did your parents ask your permission on what you wanted to eat, or ask your permission on what did you think was the right thing to do? Tell me what kid knows anything about that?
That's a good question. No one that I can recall in my family asked me what would I like to eat. My mother and my father came in and they prepared the meals and they, hey, it's time for you kids to eat. Y'all come on in. And they would bless the food and we would eat. And we were thankful for whatever they had. In fact, we were excited or ecstatic to thinking, hey, what are we going to have today? And what are we going to eat tomorrow? We didn't question our parents and tell them what they got to fix for us. Or, hey, we only want some hamburgers for the whole week. So I think things have really changed today. And there are a lot of things that people do today that are somewhat different as opposed to how we grew up. Now, question I'd like to pose for you as well. Now, that was a good comment that you made about the women, young ladies with low self-esteem. Mm-hmm. But now, what's the reason for men getting in unhealthy relationships? I think I heard a gentleman just recently mention that his wife has never cooked. They eat out every evening on their credit card. And he was upset about the amount of money that he felt like was escaping his household. And he knew that something was wrong. But why did he allow himself
to get in that position?
Yeah, so could you tell me, why do you think men get in those kinds of relationships?
Well, men get in those kinds of relationships sometimes same as women. And then we have some men have low self-esteem. Mm-hmm. Some men think that they can conquer everything.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you know this young man that's spending all this money every week on food?
Mm-hmm.
It was fine that before he married that woman.
Mm-hmm.
Why did you marry her? You know, we often jump up and talk about what God said. The scripture says, whatsoever man joined together, I mean, whatsoever God joined together, let no man put asunder.
Mm-hmm.
Well, God didn't give you nothing like that. God gives us perfect gifts. You know, he gives us gifts that's enhancing. I promise you, I tell every woman, now, don't get me wrong, Mr. Motivator, I've been through a couple of marriages until I learned that God said, stand still, girl, I'm going to send a man to you. So I'm not out there looking. You know, I'm standing, when I say I'm standing, I'm working for God but it's my understanding that when he taps me on my shoulder, I'm going to know it's him. You understand what I'm saying? So we, our unhealthy relationships from our men comes on our inability to wait. Some people just want to become sexually active, the reason they get married. I hear women talk all the time about when they were little, when they first felt a desire to be intimate or to be sexually active.
Mm-hmm.
And when they were talking about, I was still playing cowboys and Indians. That wasn't on my mind. So I believe it's what we're exposed to that gives us the opportunity to contain ourselves. People look at the word abstinence as if it's a foreign object. And I don't want anybody else to tell me, oh, this is modern times. I can remember back when in the 1980s, 1990s, this is 1900s, this 2000s, I'm going to buy him some condoms just in case. Just in case of what? Brother Jeffrey, I told my son, I said, if I find condoms in your purse, in your room, in your drawers, I'm going to try to beat the black off of you. Because I explained to him, that's a big step to take. And I asked him, I said, you have a sister that you love dearly. Would you want some boy putting his hands all over her every day? He said, no, ma'am. I said, I'm your mother. Would you want some man to do me like that? How would you feel? He said, I would be highly upset. I said, so when there's a little girl out there that you would do like that, I said, that's somebody's sister and that's somebody's daughter. And don't you ever forget it. And I said, the day you become intimate, it's going to be with somebody you will marry, or don't do it. But we encourage this. So this is another reason unhealthy relationships are formed. Some boy just wants to sleep with a girl. And then you sleep with her. Then you have a baby. You don't want that girl. And here you put this child here in the world with two people that don't care about each other. So how can you care about the kids? So it's just a lot going on. I know you have something you want to input.
I was thinking just the other day, I heard a young lady mention that she had three of her friends had different situations that was going on in their lives. I think she mentioned that a couple of them had herpes, and then another one had some other kind of a sexual transmitted disease, and I think the fourth one had something different from those three, and it just really brought something to my mind. It just made me think, hey, what are we thinking about? Do we take ourselves important? Do we consider that what we have is special? Is it a race? Is it that everyone has to dress provocative? I was at a college campus this morning getting ready to deliver a motivational speech, and at this particular university, there were a lot of young ladies challenging each other to me to see who could wear the most provocative outfit or the shortest shorts. What do you think is going on here?
And like I said, it's that the people now don't feel important. They don't feel that they represent anything. And this is why I can remember back in the day, a belly ring was for a belly dancer. You know what I'm saying? But now we got every hole pierce we can have, pierce places that we're not supposed to have piercings, and we have it pierced, and we think that's good. That makes us what? So it's the mindset of the people and what they're being exposed to and what society deems to be important for them. And this is leading them in all sorts of unhealthy relationships. If I can't make it with a boy, I'll make it with a girl. You know, and people seem to think this is okay. I'm sorry, it is not okay. And for people who tell, I have people who tell me that, you know, I'm a gay basher. I said, no, I'm not a gay basher. I said, if what I'm doing is wrong, then Christ is wrong too. Because I do what he does. I will tell you, I love you, but your lifestyle is wrong. You know, you're not going to get there. So unhealthy relationships, we just want to be a part of something, and we want to so bad that we will accept the negative side of something just to say I'm a part of it. We have some females will take any abuse from a boy just to say I've got a boyfriend. And we have, we take the same thing from our men. We have, there are men that we automatically see coming and we say, oh, he has a short man syndrome because they're not very tall. So in essence, society has said this man is trying to make up for his lack in height in his being a bully, buff, bad. You know, I'm bad to the bone. I'm a bad boy. But in reality, that bad boy is sad, is a sad boy inside. If you would take and assess a bad boy out of the limelight, he cries, I'm sure, every night in his pillow because he cannot make the world go around the way he wants it to go around. He wants to feel love. He wants to feel motivated. He wants to feel all the things that other people do, and he can't, so he makes up for it by being tough. Yeah, so, you know, come on.
Interesting that you should say that. There was a pastor who said to me, this particular pastor told me in his community where he lived, there was a young man who everyone considers, or he considers himself a bad boy, and that there were more than 15 girls in that community. Each one of them had a baby by this young man. What do you think is going on? Are they perpetuating the situation? Or do you think this young man is happy having more than 15 kids and he doesn't have a job and a way to support any of those kids? What do you think is wrong with that picture?
What's wrong with that picture is someone puts up with it. You know, if you find, I see little girls walking the street, arm in arm with a young man. She's on one arm, he's holding his pants with the other hand. I want to tell her so bad, sweetheart, turn him loose. This man doesn't know where his waistline is. How can he bless you in any way? If you think your waistline is around your thighs, then who can you tell something to? Who can you lead? If you have a child, what are you going to tell that child? I will speak to people about their situation if I'm led to do it. I was in a Walmart store one day, and it was a man pushing his son. His wife and little girl was walking along beside him. The man's pants was way down, almost to his knees. And the little boy was just friendly and talkative. I started the conversation with the little boy, who he may have been a year old. And the little boy said, I want a ball. So I asked the father, I said, are you going to buy him a ball? He says, I'm trying, but I can't find the price of it. So we found the price of the ball, and the little boy, I went on around to the other part of the store. When I came back, the little boy had the ball in the basket. And he was yelling at me, hey, hey, and he was pointing at his ball. I said, I am so glad you got a ball. I walked up to his dad. I put my arm around him. I said, you have a wonderfully handsome young man. I said, he's very smart. I said, but if you keep walking around with your pants like that, I said, he's going to do the same thing. Is that what we want? Do we want to perpetuate these unhealthy relationships? See, people think an unhealthy relationship is just between a man and a woman or whatever. But you can have an unhealthy relationship in any aspect of your life. You can have an unhealthy relationship in what you eat. You can have an unhealthy relationship in what you wear, an unhealthy relationship in what you drive. Anything that you can possibly touch or become a part of on a day-to-day basis can become unhealthy for you if it takes you to a point where it is not feasible anymore. It doesn't promote your positive growth. And this is what people don't understand. It has to promote positive growth for it to be healthy. And so this is why we're going through what we're going through. Okay, hold on. Okay, Mr. Motivator, go ahead.
Well, Walsh, I'd like to ask you a question. What if a young man comes to your house and you hear him knocking on the door and he's at your door and he wants to go out with your daughter? But yet you can't see anything but his underwear because his pants are hanging below his knees. Would you let him in your house, or what? How would you react to that situation?
Mr. Motivator, I would, yes, I'd let him in my house, but he would have to put his pants up. See, I have, my door is an open door for young men and young women. And I don't care, you can be on probation, you can be out of prison, whatever. If you need help, I'm going to help you. But every young man that comes to my door, once they hit my sidewalk and come, they know to pull those pants up. Because I tell them, if you don't have a belt, I can make you one. And I do that because they have so much to lose. They have so much to lose if they don't. I don't know no place in corporate America that you can dress that way and be successful. And they will tell you, oh, hip-hop. Hip-hop might get you started with your pants bagging, but Jay-Z, do you see his pants bagging now?
No, ma'am.
You don't see his pants sagging, hanging down to his kneecaps.
No, you do
not. No, because I'm sure Beyonce would probably tell him, you cannot walk beside me. Okay. And the man has money. But yeah. once you graduate in your mind and get a new mindset, it's just certain things you don't want to do anymore. Okay?
There was a situation, Lois, I recall. There was a young man in our down the street from us, and I was getting out of my car, and I saw the young man pull up in the yard. And the young man sat in the car, and the young lady that he was waiting for came out to the car, and I heard her mom say, who is that? Who's that you talk? Who are you going out with? And she said, oh, it's Red. Okay. The young man had no identity other than race. Then the next time, there was another one, little bullet. Okay? How do you feel about a young man that can't come in and meet you and give you his full name, and he has the name of an animal, or he has a street name, and he's with your daughter? How do you feel? How do you think a parent should handle this?
I think a parent needs to start teaching at an early age. And you have to teach your daughters
mm-hmm.
how important she is. First of all, God holds a woman way up there. And he talks to a female about just what she is and what she means to him, how valuable she is. And once you realize the value that you are, you teach your daughters. I tell my daughters, I told my daughters when they were young, I said, the only thing of value that you have is you. You don't have nothing else of value. You're the most valuable thing that you can present to a man. But we don't talk that anymore to our young people because they share that gift with too many men.
Mm-hmm.
So I told my daughters when they were young, if you can date, you're old enough to date. But the requirement is the young man has to come up. Please don't come up in my driveway with your music loud. You get out. You come in. You knock on the door. You ask for my daughter. You introduce yourself. I don't care if y'all not fixing to get married. You're going on a date.
Mm-hmm.
You're taking my daughter out. I need to know if she doesn't come back at curfew who my daughter left with. So, it's
it's a safety thing.
Yes, it's basic. But we don't require that anymore. Parents, we're too busy doing something else, and we're not looking at who our children are with. Or anything of that nature. Okay?
Thank you, Lois. I really enjoyed the way you answered that question just then. Another question I'd like to pose on you. Oftentimes, we hear about families, parents, dealing with children who have an identity problem or an identity crisis. A lot of parents now are struggling with the question, how to raise their children or their particular child. Even movie stars, people all over, are experiencing difficulty with how to raise their son or their daughter. Could you expound on that for the people who may be listening that have some concerns with their children in this particular area, or maybe they feel like they're losing a relationship with their child? Is there anything the parent can do to help raise this child or to help this child restore the relationship with mom and dad?
Yes, sir. Mr. Motivator, and for everyone that's listening, I think that a relationship between parents and children are crucial. You just got to have a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Where we start to lose out, Mr. Motivator, is when we give our children a voice in who they are so young in life. If any adult listening to me would understand, how old were you when you realized who you were? As young as I am now, sometimes I still don't know who I am. So why would you make something so important? Why would you give a child that much leeway? Why would you give them that much power to make a decision when they don't know what they're making a decision for?
Mm-hmm.
I can remember when I was 13 years old, I liked this boy. He was 19. 19 and 13 nowadays, you can't, it just wouldn't work. But see, I'm from the country, so it would work back then, because if a 19-year-old got out of place with a 13-year-old, that 13-year-old's daddy would beat him from one side of town to the other one, and everybody would help.
Yes.
But that's not so now. But I'm saying that to say this. My mom picked my clothes.
Mm-hmm.
I wore shoes and socks. I was 13 and 14. Now, how can I be so popular with this boy and have him think of me as a big girl and I'm still wearing body socks? Well, I wore those socks. I wore those socks to church. I wore them everywhere. Now, when I went with my big sister places, I would pull them socks off and put them in my purse. But when I found myself getting close to home, I put them socks back on. Now, Mr. Motivator, I'm saying that because we let our children make decisions too early.
Mm-hmm.
Decisions that they don't have a clue
mm-hmm.
on how to make. Oh, they got a mind, yes, but it's not developed.
Yes.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
So we're struggling, our children struggle with their identities because they don't have a clue who they are, what they're doing, why they're doing it.
Yes.
And you, a parent should just say, look, this is the way it's going to be.
Yes.
You're going to wear this, you're going to wear this, and you're going to wear that. When you get ready to experiment with your identity, make sure you're out there taking care of yourself. You know, paying your own bills. Everything that you got, you're paying your way for. Because we need to shelter and nurture. And you can't shelter and nurture something if it's got its own head. So this is where we mess up. And, Mr. Motivator, this is where our breakdown comes. This is why we have so many unhealthy relationships. We've got women now who will fight a man if you don't be with me.
Mm-hmm.
We got men out there who will fight a woman. If I can't have you, nobody can have you.
Mm-hmm.
How stupid is that?
Yeah.
Because I believe that whatever God has, I believe there's a mate for everybody who is mateless. You know, if it's for you to have a mate, God gave you one. So what are we fighting about? You know, if God has a mate for me and your wife is married to my mate, what am I going to do? You understand what I'm saying? So we're in all kind of unhealthy relationships because we're unhealthy people.
You are so right, Lord. Bless you.
Thank you.
Now, what can you say to someone out there who were in a relationship and maybe they have some children as a result of that relationship, and they're in a bad situation and things are real rocky for them, but that particular person that they were in a relationship with, maybe it was a husband, a wife, they left them and divorced them, but they're still trying to hang on to that person in some sort of way, or they're trying to get that person to respond and to help them financially or to do something, but you can hear in their voice that this relationship is over. Is there anything you can say to someone who won't let go and they're still trying to hang on and force something from someone who's through with them? They want nothing to do with them. How do you talk to someone like that?
You know what, Mr. Motivator, I think of this all the time. It's like trying to put a square peg in a round hole. Listen, females, I'm not telling you anything that I have not been through. I have been abandoned not once but twice in two marriages. But, and I've raised my children as a single parent. It's nothing wrong with you. First of all, we tell that lie all the time that I'm saying in it for my children. No, you're not. Your children are seeing all kind of abuse, and you're helping them, that good stuff that's down in them that you're never going to tap into because you're camouflaging with all that mess and that stuff that they see out of you every day. That's a lie. It irritates me if I've got a deadbeat man that I just so happen to have a child by, and then I say, oh, little Ray Ray needs to know he did it. What is his daddy going to teach him? How to be another deadbeat?
Yeah.
So what I did was I found Christ. Do you know God can be the best father for your children when their father is absent?
Yes.
And I promise you, he will send people in your direction that will bless your children. But we want our children to know the deadbeat men. Or in some cases, there are deadbeat women. But we just, every little girl should know their mother. What if their mother's a crackhead, sleeping with everybody? Do you want your child exposed to that? See, this is the unhealthiness. This is why we never get down to the nitty-gritty inside of us. I want to say this because we're going to get to wrap this up. But let me say this. When God said, I made you male and female, and I made you in my image, he made us perfect on the inside. He made us where we can cleave to what's good and perfect. He made us where we can stand in the face of adversity. He made us be able to survive when everything around us said we couldn't survive. So we don't have an excuse for being something else. And another thing, I want men to stop saying, I'm a dog. That's a dog in me. No, that's your flesh that you haven't tamed yet. Because if God made you in his image, God's not a dog. And they started that way back. What are little boys made of? Snips and snails and puppy dog tails.
Yes.
That's what boys are made of. No, boys were made differently because they were made by God to be protectors and providers. They protect their families, they provide for their families. And this is how we have to teach people. We have to also teach little girls that we are powerful. We're powerful, we can stand. God is going to bless us to stand regardless. And you have to be willing to stand and know that I don't have to sell for anything. Some women think that they just have to have a man. You need to have one, but the one God has for you.
Mm-hmm.
And the one that God didn't give you, let it go.
Mm-hmm.
Let it go. We're steady trying to pull from a man something that he doesn't have in him to give.
Mm-hmm.
How can you get love from a man who doesn't have it in him?
Mm-hmm.
You just can't do it. But we keep trying to make this man, I'm going to make him comply to this. I'm going to make him do this. I'm going to make him do that. I know I've been there. Let me tell you something. I have two children that fathers didn't have nothing to do with them. In fact, I've got three children, rather, that father had nothing to do with them. But it did not take away from them because I never allowed them to say, you can only be what you are if your father is in your life. You can be whatever you want to be if nobody is in your life, because God is going to make sure there's somebody there for you to do what you need to do. Mr. Motivator, you got something else to say?
Yeah, I'd like to get your take on this. I heard a young man say one time that he met a young lady that she wasn't the kind of woman he wanted his mom to meet. And the gentleman came up with a song, and the late Rick James, and he named it Super Freak. So could you give us your take? What was his message about it?
Well, you know what? One thing I did, Super Freak. Let me expound on that. Listen, the connection you have with the male and a female. See, in God, he said the bed is undefiled.
Yes.
If you got a super freak, make sure she's a super freak for you and not a super freak for all the neighbors down the street.
Okay.
See, it's not my business
yes.
what goes on in your bedroom.
Yes.
We try to make it our business because we want to put it out there. We want to broadcast it. Man, she's a freak. She's a freak because she's married with you and you and you and you. But the woman that you have, I don't know of a mother, basically, that first off thinks any woman is good enough for her son.
Yes.
But there is a working relationship that has to come, and that woman will absolutely fall in love
mm-hmm.
with that woman.
Mm-hmm.
My son has a wife. I love her dearly. She is exactly what he needs. All of the people the women he used to drag home, I look at them, I'm saying it. But this young lady, she has a heart for God. She blesses him whenever, they work together. They have a beautiful daughter, and they both teach her. You have to be on one accord. If she doesn't agree with my son, she doesn't say it in front of the little girl. I've never heard her say to tell a little girl, your daddy ain't this. Yo, daddy ain't that.
Yeah.
We talk about our men too much.
Yeah, negative
stuff. And you can't talk about too many positive things about him because some other woman will come and try to take him away, you know. But in reality, we need to always lift our men up. Men, lift your wives up. If you don't have the wife that you're supposed to have, go reconstruct that thing, you know. Honestly, don't let your belief in God take you down the wrong path. God ain't put you with no evil, nothing. God didn't do that. You did that. Okay?
Well, I don't mean to put you on the spot, but what about the man that says, hey, I love my wife, and the wife is telling everyone, I love my husband, but he's making strange requests. And my husband says he has this itch for me and three other women and a chimpanzee. He wants us all in bed with
him. Well, you know what? First of all, if my husband can't come, I want three other women and a chimpanzee. By the time the three women got there and the chimpanzee got there, he probably had two black eyes. I don't know, bro, Mr. Motivator, but he probably ended up with the chimpanzee. I promise you, no, I don't need that much company in my bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it's just if I'm not okay with who I am, oh, yeah, oh, he going to be mad, so I'm going to go get three women. And can you buy me a chimpanzee? You better get out of my face with that. You know, you have to be secure, though, in who you are. And realize if somebody makes a request like that from you,
right.
That bugger needs to be on, what is that, some show that show freaks or whatever, a freak of nature, anything.
Uh-huh.
But we have to get to that point. That's too nice. It has to be in something else. But people do make strange requests like that. You know why? Very unhealthy on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
And on the last note, I want everybody to know,
mm-hmm.
you have that good stuff down inside of you.
Mm-hmm.
You just need to peel away those layers of everything that's covering it up. Everything that's covering up. When it starts to shine through, you're going to see the world differently. Your choices are going to be different. You're going to make good choices. You're going to absolutely be able to function. You're not going to be able to cry and whine and moan and go on because this is not happening and that's not happening. And I will tell anyone, if you have a relationship, it should be passion in your relationship. You should have a passion for food if it's the good food. You should have a passion to wear the nice clothes. You should have a passion with your spouse, with your husband, with your wife. It should be passion there. And if there's no passion there, well, that's an unhealthy relationship. Okay?
Thank you, Lois. You did such a beautiful job on answering that. There was, in fact, this is true. There was a pastor who told me that one of his members had been in the hospital a couple of times because her husband likes to wait until she gets in from work at night, and he gets up on top of the house and he jumps down on her back, and he fractured her ribs, and he feels like that's exciting and passionate for him. That's the way he likes to have sex. So is there anything you can say to that individual if somebody experienced something similar to that?
Yeah, get you another hood. I know that's a country western song that you got the wrong girl. You got the wrong man, I'm telling you. If somebody's doing freaky stuff and hurting you and pulling yoke and you always at the doctor's office getting bandaged up or something, you got the wrong person in your life. And so you need to start understanding. Listen, we're getting ready to bring this to a close, but I want to tell you I enjoy Let's Talk Truth because I feel like we offer something that will give you a chance to think. Now, things that you think about, if you're going through it, go through it. It gives you, once you think about it, it gives you a chance to heal. We have to heal on the inside before the good stuff starts to shine through. When that good stuff starts to shine through, you're not going to accept anything but the good stuff. So we're doing the Let's Talk Truth broadcast. We're going to do our Let's Talk Truth magazine. I know I keep promising you that each time, but it's going to come to pass, and so you just be looking for it. We want, if there's anybody out there that's listening to this show and would like to be a guest on my show, I will absolutely bring you to my studio, and you can talk with me, and we can share. You can be on the broadcast anytime you call. You can also call me at 469-554-0337. Unfortunately, I won't be able to talk to you, but I will get the message, and I will get back with you. You can also send me an email. Your voice can be heard through our emails at Let's Talk Truth 333@yahoo.com. I almost forgot the email address. Now, when I tell you, I give you the email address and say, Let's Talk Truth. Let's is without the apostrophe S. It's just Let's Talk Truth 333@yahoo.com. And Mr. Motivator wants to have something to say.
I just wanted to say this to your people that are listening. If you're in a relationship with someone and they show up one night and they knock on the door, well, Pilgrim, saddle up your horse and we'll meet you back at the corral. I think you need to just lock that door and get away before it's too late.
That's right, because John Wayne died a long time ago. So he's the only one who said, your name is not Pilgrim. So that's what you need to tell us, that my name is not Pilgrim, and you need to go and go on. So I tell you, I really enjoyed being on this unhealthy relationship and finding the good stuff. How many of you think it's going to be hard to find your good stuff? It's not hard once you come into reality that you do have something good inside of you and that you don't have to settle for an unhealthy relationship because you are absolutely a healthy individual. You are a powerful man, a man of God. You are a powerful woman of God. You have powerful young women and young men that you're responsible for. You are an example, a shining example to everyone out there in the workplace, in the church, at the grocery store, wherever it is you go. And anytime you meet people, you're not meeting them by chance. You're not meeting them just because you're in a particular place, but those people are in your path for a reason. And God wants you to absolutely look forward to being that shining example. And the very day you look into the mirror and you say, I'm not going to have another unhealthy relationship. And I'm going to start this day because all the good stuff inside of me that in where I was made in the image of God, I'm going to let it shine through. And once it shines through, nobody will be able to hold you back. And another thing, start looking at those signs. If you're in relationships now, with food, if you can only eat bun buns all day long, unhealthy relationship, stop and look at what you're eating. I was in that place at one time. I love to eat an ice cream chocolate bar every night. Unhealthy relationship because it puts unhealthy pounds on you. And then you won't be able to fit into that two-piece bikini that you fit into a couple of weeks ago. So you have to make sure that you stop having that unhealthy relationship with your food, with your clothes. Sometimes we turn down different things. We don't want to wear this and we don't want to wear that. There are colors that some of us don't wear because we think it makes us look fat or we think it makes us look this and that. Just break out of that shell. Try something new. Try something different. Wear something different. And sometimes you'll be amazed at how good you look. And also, if you're in an unhealthy relationship and with the car, some people can only drive a certain car. They don't want a small car. They want a big car. Whatever it is, come to terms with being healthy about what you think and things that you want to do in life. Because guess what? We owe it to ourselves. This is the only body we will ever have. This is the only life we will ever have. But what we have to do is make it a positive flow and understand that this is what we need to be the best that we can be. I want to thank Mr. Motivator for coming. He is always a lifesaver. We were having a one lady that was supposed to come and be a guest here tonight. She could not come, but Mr. Motivator, I mean, he's just right on point. He's always there. So he has a blog. I'm going to let him tell you.
Hey, those of you who need some encouragement, feel free to go to my blog. It's www.dwightjeffrey.blogspot.com. And you can also follow Mr. Motivator on Twitter, and that is at C Mr. Motivator. The letter C as in cow, M-R, M-O-T-I-V-A-T-O-R. Again, Lois, thank you for having me on your show. And I always look forward to being a guest, and you're just an awesome lady, and I really appreciate the positive advice and encouragement that you offer to your audience.
All right. Thank you, Mr. I want to thank my staff for being on point every time I have a broadcast to do. They always have everything set up so nicely for me. Thank them, and just thank everyone. Thank our limo driver who's always
thank
on time.
You, your limo driver, he was just right on time.
All right. Thank you to our limo driver and our security. Our security comes and they keep our audience. They bring them in and they seat them, and we just thank God for them and thank you for being here. Okay. Now, before we leave, let's talk truth every Tuesday, 7:30 p.m. You can call in at 323-580-5712. We don't have the right now you can just listen in. But we thank you, and I am Lois. And guess what? I'm loving you with the heart of God. All right? Goodbye.